Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. I am your host, Adam Klugman, and we are glad you are here. What a stunning day in Portland. I can't see it from the room I'm in, but I can sure feel it. I bet you can feel it. I hope whatever it is you're doing, that you have your radio with you, you have your iHeartRadio with you, you're outside, you've got your telephone ready to call in, because this hour is all you. This is a discussion. I'm going to set the topic, and we're going to talk about it. We just got through talking to Congressman Alan Grayson. I could have talked to him for a whole nother hour. I could have taken up the whole show. What a great guy, great sense of humor, but he is a congressman with guts. He is a mad as hell congressman, former congressman, and soon to be again congressman with your help. So I want you to go to congressmanwithguts.com, and I want you to put money in his coffers. We need him back in the Congress now more than ever. We don't have anyone there. He calls it the fight between the meanies and the weenies, the meanies being the Republicans and the weenies being the Democrats, who seem to be willing to endlessly compromise with people that are not interested in compromise. And that's how we got into the mess that we are in. So I don't know if you've been following the news, but there were more layoffs at places like Lockheed Martin. The economy, the jobless numbers are going up. It's getting really scary out there. And I had my own experience earlier in the week. I went into Borders. It was on Thursday to replace a lost book for my daughter. And when I walked in, I immediately noticed that all the search computers had signs on them that said out of order. I didn't know anything, you know, and so I asked the person behind the counter if she could help me find the book I was looking for. Susan, I will call her. She was 31, bookish, kind of anxious, with blonde hair, a rectangular glasses, black frames, and a red Borders t-shirt. Anyway, Susan says that no one knows where anything is and that the computers are useless because there's some kind of sale going on. I didn't know what she was talking about. I thought it was odd that just because they were having a sale, that suddenly there would be no way to account for the location of books. So I search around, and I can't find what I'm looking for, and I can't find what I'm looking for, and I'm getting increasingly more frustrated that a store the size of Borders would not have a way to search its inventory. And so I'm just about to leave when Susan comes running up to me with the book I was looking for and says, "Here's our last copy. I can't believe I found it." Me still not getting it. I can be very thick sometimes. I thank her, and I take the opportunity to ask her why the hell the store was such a disorganized mess. After a long pause, she starts to well up with tears. At that point, I assume that I had probably been too intense, which is my way. And I say, "Look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to attack you. I hope you didn't feel attacked." And she says, no, it's not that. I'm sorry. It's just that, well, we're all in a state of shock here, and I guess emotions are running high." I ask her why everyone was in a state of shock and why emotions were running high, and she says, "Well, haven't you heard? We're closing." "Really?" I ask her, still not getting it. I can be very dense. "This store's always filled with people," I say. She says, "No, not just this store. All the Borders, 399 stores, 10,000 people don't have jobs anymore. I'm one of them." Just like that. Well, of course, it made sense all of a sudden. The hooded computers, the lack of order, the welling up salesperson. I simply hadn't heard the news yet. I had heard that Borders was in trouble, but not that it was now belly up. And I realize that I'm standing in the midst of the collateral damage. And so now I'm kind of in a little bit of shock, and I say to Susan, "Oh, my God, when did this happen?" As if it were happening to me, which, of course, it is, right? Just like it's happening to you, just like it's happening to all of us. So Susan says, "Well, it happened 2 days ago. A Borders went up for auction, and no one bid on it. The liquidators will be here on Monday. They told me yesterday that today is my last day." "That's it. Just like that," she says. Then, unable to hold back tears, Susan blurts out one uncontainable, heaving sob and rushes away before I can see her completely break down. It was almost like a hiccup, you know, like, and I look to see if I have the book that I came for after she runs away, and I don't. And by the time I look up, she's long gone. with the book. And I'm wondering how long it's going to be before she realizes she's going to have to find me again. And I have a real question. Will she come back? Is she too embarrassed? So I take a moment to look around, and I see now that there's bookshelves that are draped and various things have been removed from the walls and whole sections of the store are dark. I mean, this was a wham-bam fire sale, and someone was in a big hurry. No warnings, no notifications to the employees, just, we're done, it's over, go home, see you, bye. And then call in the liquidators for Monday morning. No wonder everyone was in shock, and the vibe was everywhere. And so I'm standing there wondering how it's possible that I did not notice what was going on when I see Susan start walking toward me from halfway across the store. Now, she's smiling this time, composed, kind of shaking her head like, you know, what an idiot I am, kind of like, oh, like she spilled coffee on me and she was now bringing me a rag to wipe it up. I'm sorry, she says, smiling. It's been crazy around here, as you can tell. And I can see right away that she needs me to see her put back together, you know? She needs me to agree with her that she's fine, that she will be fine, that I didn't see her cry a heaving sob and run away with my book just 80 seconds ago. So I say, pushing on her buttons a little, not really willing to agree with her at that point, and say, yeah, it must be really hard, I tell her. And she breathes and says, you know what it is? Scary. I mean, do you want to be looking for a job in this economy? And the way she says it, and the look in her eye, it drops in a way that makes a noise, you know? Like a really big coin hitting the bottom of an old-fashioned vending machine. Suddenly, I feel how afraid she really is. And I tune into the fear that's everywhere in the room and on every face of every employee on the floor, and bells are ringing in my head. Get it, Klugman? It's in your neighborhood now. It's everywhere. Welcome to the new normal. Then Susan says, it happened so fast. Just like that. It was the third time she'd used those words, just like that. And it reminded me of someone who'd been in a car accident, you know, where they say, I just didn't see it. It's like she's trying to make peace with it. She's trying to reckon with what just happened to her. And even though she kind of snaps and I'm fine now and smiles and walks away, I knew she wasn't fine. And she knew she wasn't fine. And she knew that I knew she wasn't fine. And what bothered me wasn't that she had inadvertently showed me her true feelings. What bothered me was that she felt ashamed of it. That somehow it wasn't okay. That somehow being completely devastated wasn't a perfectly normal and appropriate and necessary response to having your livelihood ripped away without a moment's notice. Because just like that doesn't mean just like that. What it means is I feel completely helpless and insignificant and out of control and terrified and of so little consequence that I'll never be the same person again. I'll never trust the world in the same way again. I will never allow myself to trust the world, and even if I wanted to, I know I could not. Now, I'm not saying that Borders is a model for what's wrong with our economy or NAFTA or any of that right now, because I don't know really what put Borders out of business. I do know that the publishing industry is changing so fast that bricks and mortar book outlets are becoming kind of dinosaurs. I get that. What I want to talk about is the way Susan felt. Because it connected me to the despair of millions upon millions of our fellow Americans who are feeling exactly the same way right now about losing their livelihood and having to face this economy. And how, Borders notwithstanding, our economy and our middle class is and has been under attack for the last 10 years, just like Congressman Grayson said. And it made me think of the smugness of someone like Grover Norquist, you know, a multimillionaire, and how he has been engineering a complete dismantling of our great society in favor of an oligarchy for himself and a handful of his uber-rich multinational pals. So I want to take Susan's feelings, not the circumstances, not Borders' financial records, but the feeling of terror and disorientation she felt, and multiply it by 1,000, 10,000, millions, 10 million, because that's how many of our friends, how many of our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters, our wives, our husbands, fathers, and mothers have lost their jobs in this country over and over again. 50,000 jobs a month for 10 years we have been bleeding, and not because there is some mysterious organic force that influences economies through cycles of ups and downs. That's just the propaganda, man. Because what's really been going on is that ever since Reagan fired the air traffic controllers back in 1981, labor and manufacturing in this country have been under deliberate and systematic and organized attack from American corporations going multinational and taking their money, our economy, and the spine and soul of honest, hardworking Americans with them. And the thing is, no matter how many times they take the temperature of the so-called recovery, those factories, those jobs, those decimated lives are not coming back, because the people in control of this country don't want them to come back. We could extend them every tax incentive in the world. We could get them a pony, as Congressman Grayson said, and they would still keep their trillions of dollars in cash on the sidelines and walk away from this country because, and this is very important, the prosperity of our citizens is a power they are afraid of. They never want to be beholden to unions or government regulations ever again, because democracy is their enemy, because it makes them accountable to the people. And for them, that is bad business, and we need to get that. So how should we feel? Devastated, ripped off, thrown under the bus, traumatized, terrified, mad as hell. This is a perfectly reasonable response to getting screwed, to getting treated like you don't matter. But Susan thought that these feelings should be hidden, tucked away in her apartment somewhere where only her closest friends could see them, because somehow she thinks they are a sign of her weakness. But those feelings of hurt, fear, outrage, sadness, they are what make you strong, Susan. They are not what make you weak. They are what make you a human being. They are what make you a living, breathing, sentient citizen of this country. Not a corporate person, not a virtual, theoretical person, but an actual person with flesh and blood and feelings, real feelings that matter. Because those feelings that Susan wants to hide away are what give her life value and meaning, and make it absolutely essential that she be seen and considered and treated like a proud citizen of a great democracy.
You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
That's right. Your life has value. And how you feel about that life, how you feel about it, has immense political power. Show your true feelings to the man. Show him that you care enough about your own life to say enough. Tell the man that the theft of this country stops here. Tell him it stops now. Say out loud, I am angry and sad and scared, and I feel manipulated and cheated and lied to, and I will not take it anymore. Those feelings are what we are going to use to knock the walls down. We need those feelings, because the coming movement, and it is coming, doesn't need you to leave those feelings at home, in a drawer, in a closet, wrapped in shame and self-pity. Our country, our democracy, our people need us to take those feelings out into the streets and flaunt them without shame and proclaim them to the whole world. Because when the man sees that, he will shiver in his boots, because he will know at long last that the goose has no more feathers left to pluck. And so, it's back to what I talked about last week, that there is an unfinished grief in this country about the death of our democracy. And we begin again when we take responsibility for that grief, when we take responsibility for what we are feeling, when we refuse to blame ourselves like battered spouses and point those feelings directly at the power and set the streets on fire with our betrayal and indignation, and a clear, unapologetic demand. Return America to the people, or face our wrath. So, do you want to begin again? I do. Are you finished with the old conversation? The one we keep having on TV? The one we keep having on the radio? Or with monsters like Grover Norquist? Then where would you start that conversation? With a repeal of corporate personhood? A Green New Deal? A new progressive party? Where would you like to begin again? What is the first order of business we need to attend to as a reinvigorated citizen body? I want to hear from you on this. I want answers. 503-248-0620. 1-866-452-0620 are the numbers. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. We will be right back with your calls. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. The numbers here are 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. This whole hour is yours. And we are talking again, kind of a continuation from the conversation we had last week about how we feel about what's going on in this country, not what we think. We can't think our way out of the condition that we have found ourselves in. And the more I just keep investigating this feeling, the more it occurs to me that there is no thinking. I mean, that's where television and radio and the conversation that we're having, and I don't even want to call it the public sector. I don't even know where it's taking place. But it's taking place in some very rarefied, contrived arena where we have to fit ourselves into it. And what it precludes, what this kind of hyper-intellectual, non sequitur type of conversation gets us is that we don't feel anything. We can't bring our feelings. But what I was saying was, yes, we must bring our feelings because that's the thing that frightens them. That's the thing. That is the source of our power, our anger, our sadness, our outrage, our grief. We connect with that and we are human again. And they can't take that away from us. We rehumanize ourselves when we allow ourselves to feel. And I was talking about Susan, who had suddenly lost her job at Borders and 10,000 others like her. And she wanted to hide those feelings. She didn't want me to see them. She didn't want anyone to see them. And I'm saying, what is wrong with those feelings? Bring them out into the open. Show them to the world. Throw them into the streets. Because when they see that, like I said, they will know that they have run out of real estate. And we need to get mad as hell. Take the feelings out and show them to the world. Numbers here, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. How do you feel about what's happening? How do you feel? That's what I want to know. Karen in Portland, welcome to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. What is up?
Hi, Adam. I thought you did a brilliant job on that story.
Oh, thank you.
But I have to counterbalance a little bit.
Okay.
Because when we talk about fire in the streets, and I know you're speaking, I think, metaphorically, I think we have to go in nonviolent direction.
I agree.
And I think what you said about that young woman's feelings was just amazing and absolutely right on. And I think on a thinking level, we need to take on... We need to get out in the streets so that we can reinvigorate the electorate. I think that's one piece of it. And
right.
We also need to have a strategy that's overarching around what the corporations are and that they need to be socially and environmentally responsible. We have to find mechanisms to hold them to that, whether it's an amendment of the Constitution or whether we can do it in some other ways. But I just really appreciate what you're about, and I just want to put the little balance on the scale.
Well stay with me for a second,
okay.
Karen. So I hear you. You know, it's dangerous when we start talking about fire in the streets,
yes.
Even metaphorically.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I am for a nonviolent approach. But that doesn't mean that we can't set the streets on fire, not literally, not with flames, but with our combustible feelings about what's going on.
Good point.
And so that's kind of the spirit of what I'm saying. So I don't mean it entirely metaphorical. I mean, so let me remember when John Lennon, there's two versions of the song Revolution.
Uh-huh.
You know, one where he says, where you want to talk about a violent revolution, you can count me out. And then he says in one of the versions. And he was asked about that. Why did you say in? And he said, well, I feel ambivalent about it, and I want people to know that we need to be heard and we need to be taken seriously. I am not ambivalent about violence, but I am very clear that I want to be taken seriously. I want people's emotions on fire in the streets like they were in Egypt. That's fire in the streets for me. So That's how I see it.
That's good. That's a good distinction, and I really agree with you. I just don't want us to descend into an anti-intellectual pit where we feel like, oh, it's just we're more vulnerable to being demagogued.
I hear you.
I'm an old lady. I've been through the 60s and 70s. I've seen fire in the streets.
Yeah.
You know, the Baltimore ghetto on fire and the National Guard on the street corner. And these folks had real good reason for
they
doing
did.
That. And I'm not putting them down in any way, shape, or form. I was on a defense committee for the Black Liberation Army, okay?
All right, well, Karen, you...
defense committee. But that doesn't mean I didn't understand why they were where they were. But I'm an old lady. I've learned a lot of lessons now.
Well, Karen, I really appreciate the call, and I appreciate the counterbalance. I really do. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. This is AM 620 KPOJ. Your calls are next, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. What do you think about Karen's comment? Did I go too far for calling for fire in the streets? Did it make you feel scared? Was it a little too dangerous? I paused before I wrote it, and yet I went for it. So give me a call here. I want to hear from you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Thank goodness for it. I'm getting some texts and some emails on what I said, particularly, and I will say it again so that I'm not quoted out of context. There is an unfinished grief in this country about the death of our democracy, and we begin again when we take responsibility for that grief, when we refuse to blame ourselves like battered spouses, point those feelings directly at the power, and set the streets on fire with our betrayal and indignation. I, of course, was speaking metaphorically, but some people feel like that's a dangerous line to walk. What do you think? 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Did I cross a line? I'm still asking myself whether I crossed the line. I'm not sure. I, of course, was speaking metaphorically, but when we start talking in metaphors as literal as streets on fire, that gets scary. Scary even for me. I was thinking of Egypt when I wrote it, not literally streets on fire. But is that language okay? Is that over the line? 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Let's go to calls. David in New York. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. What's up?
Thank you, Adam. I don't know about streets of fire, but I do not think that you went too far. I just want to add something.
Yeah.
You know, Susan's is indeed a heartbreaking but all too representative story. And because what you're talking about is a healthy response to mistreatment.
Right.
The word trauma. Trauma, the symptoms of which are universal. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pontificate on all of these except to say that one of the hallmarks of trauma is that the subject of trauma blames themselves. In other words, they feel shame, i.e. Susan.
Right.
In view of this, the challenge is how to convert this sense of self-blame into righteous anger and indignation.
Right.
So getting mad as hell is part of it. And yes, it is connected to what you were talking about last week, the grief process. We've got to come out of denial and move into anger, healthy, directed, focused anger, targeted at the right sources. I don't know exactly what that anger looks like, and I agree with your last caller that it has to be some form of nonviolence, but the anger nevertheless has to be present and has to be channeled.
David, I really appreciate the call. Are you a psychologist or a psychiatrist or...
I'm a psychoanalyst.
I thought by your language, I could tell. I really appreciate the call, and I appreciate the kind of professional analysis of how we take grief and turn it into productive, healthy human anger. How we take these feelings and not kind of introspect them, retroflect them against ourselves and let it become shame, but rather to leave them out in the public arena and let them be known. I really appreciate the call. I'm going to move on.
Well, thank you. Just want to add, yes, once we've experienced trauma, there's a shattering of our world, and we have to acknowledge that, and then we can begin to move out of it.
Right, and there's immense political power there when we do. David, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Art. Art in Portland, thanks for holding. You're welcome. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. I'm having trouble today.
Thank you. My pleasure. I thought your story was terrific. I've never heard anything so good.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I think we need to channel that grief or anger into creativity and love and compassion for our for each other.
Yes.
Because we are in the same boat, and it seems like every distraction that comes down from on high on the from the TV, et cetera, the spin wants us to blame each other.
Right. And, or ourselves.
Or ourselves, right. And that's all to keep us from acting and channeling our energy into change. It's squishing us, squishing our energy.
Art, let me ask you, did you feel that I went a little too far? Did you take it literally when I said streets on fire?
No, I think that that's a, it's a convenient way to distract from the point.
Yeah,
I think people use that, especially the Republicans or whatever we want to call them.
I'm looking for some. I'm looking. Thanks so much for the call, Art. I appreciate your comments and thanks for listening. You know, I'm looking at a comment that was sent to me via text saying, you know, that's the kind of thing that gets taken out of context. Now, liberal radio host calls for, you know, fire in the streets. You know, that the, then I start to become Glenn Beck at some level, right? And that's not what I'm about. That is not what I'm about. We're going to go to calls in a minute, but I wanted to tell you about something we're going to do in the third hour. We did it last show for the first time, and it went really well. We call it the Mad as Hell Minute, and you're going to get 30 seconds, and that's all, to call this show and say anything you want. I don't care if you agree or disagree with me. And it's kind of a disciplined thing that we're doing. So it's about, can you persuade in 30 seconds? Can you make your point in 30 seconds? Seconds, the elevator pitch. Can you persuade? Can you articulate in that time frame? We set up a clock and we let it run. And I think it's great practice for us. It's great practice for people who disagree with us to see if you can persuade in 30 seconds. We call it the Mad as Hell Minute, but, you know, well, we could call it the Mad as Hell Moment, but it's only 30 seconds long because 60 seconds is too long. 30 seconds is traditionally the elevator pitch. We're going to do that in the last two segments of the third hour. So get them ready. We want to hear from you. Numbers here, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Did I go too far in the monologue? Did you feel a sense of urgency or an oops or a sense of, uh-oh, he's crossing over the line when I was talking about taking our feelings and setting the streets on fire with our betrayal and indignation? I want your call, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Let's go to Janelle in Portland. Janelle, welcome to Mad as Hell in America.
Oh, well, hello.
Hello.
I've actually never been on the radio before. So
well,
it's really exciting.
Take your time. What do you want to say?
Well,
thanks for calling,
think,
by the way.
Well, you're welcome. I didn't think you went too far for most progressives, but possibly to other people taking to the streets has a, you know, scary connotation. The thing that I... You know, I'm also part of the 60s, 70s generation people. I did take to the streets, and I have taken to the streets recently here in Portland with PDX Uncut. And I mean, the thing
love PDX Uncut.
Yeah.
What is it, usuncut.org? Is that the website?
Yeah, and there's a PDX Uncut on Facebook.
Yeah, it's a great organization. We had them on the show. Keep going. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, the thing I really like about them is that they're kind of multi-generational. They're trying to include younger people, and they're trying not to, not that they're pussyfooting around, but they don't want to alienate people, so they try to, like, dress up and wear costumes and engage the public in a positive way. And I think, you know, the big test and the big challenge here is to get the younger people, all the people who came out and voted for Obama, motivated. Because I have a son who's 31, and he's fairly nihilistic at times, you know, like, oh, it's...
Yeah, that whole generation is very nihilistic. They're feeling they have no opportunity. Their options are closed. What good is it to have a college degree? All I get from it is debt. No opportunity. No future. I mean, you know, these are the conditions that send people into the streets. Janelle, thanks for the call. I got a full board. I want to move on. Thanks so much for the call, and I appreciate you calling in. So let's go to Rob in Vancouver, Washington. Rob, welcome to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You have a comment. What's up?
I do, and I like what you said. I don't think you went far enough, you know.
Okay.
This is tilted so far to one side. You know, the last time this happened in our history was the first part of the 20th century, when the unions really started to gain strength and people started to fight for their rights. And I tell you what, they did fight. They shed blood. People laid their lives down. And that's what it's come down to. Our government, for all intents and purposes today, as we know, it has been captured. Period.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just a fact. And until it gets to the point, and I don't know how much more it'll possibly take, but when you know, we'll be getting close, when the ignorant among us, let's call them, say, I don't know, Tea Partiers, start to realize what's happening and that they've been fighting against themselves like idiots.
Right.
And that the top 2% of this country have it all. And that's why wages are flat, because all the gains in wealth through productivity or anything else you want to talk about, the economy growing, has went to them. And in fact, you know, if the economy, if average wages had increased along with the inflation and economy as it's rose since 1970, the average wage right now would be around 90 grand instead of between around 40 and 50.
As it should be. As it should be. They've got trillions and trillions of dollars.
We've earned the wealth. We've given it all away to a very tiny percentage of the people.
And they're sitting on cash. Trillions and trillions of dollars in cash are sitting on the sidelines, not being reinvested in this country. Rob, I do appreciate the call. Thank you very much. You know, this idea that our forefathers shed blood and that we have shed blood for justice, I don't think that's necessary. In fact, what I would put forth is that not nonviolence is the next step in the evolution, that we are being pushed to this point as a people and as a country so that we will find the next evolution of how we stand up for justice. And that has got to be nonviolence, because we know that violence is just going to lead us back to the same problem. It is the same mind that caused the problem. Violence, greed, selfishness, aggression, rage, greed. These are the qualities. These are the lesser angels of our nature. And they are part of what has gotten us here. So in order to evolve, we must find a nonviolent solution. And we have, in the third hour, Ashley Anderson is going to be here. And he's committed his life to creating an organization called Peaceful Uprising, peacefuluprising.org, where they are evolving a new way to stand for justice in a way that is much more terrifying than any amount of blood that we could possibly shed. Let's go to Thomas in Wilsonville. Thomas, welcome to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman.
Hello, Adam. Incredible story with the young lady.
Oh, yeah.
Very moving. I'm an older gentleman, 68. My wife is passing away from Alzheimer's. I took care of her 5 years before I ran out of skills. Totally reliant upon our assets, selling them off and our Social Security. And I'm scared as hell not to know what to do. For the first time, I'm a renter. And if I don't pay my rent by the 5th of August, guess what? I get a 72-hour. So I'm...
Wow, I'm sorry.
Really don't have... No, I'm one of probably so many that
yes.
are facing the same thing. So, you know, together, we don't fall. And... you know, nonviolence, whatever it's going to take. I think the kitchen top issues, people are so surrounded with overwhelming problems, you know, pay this, pay that. Wages haven't increased with the cost of living. So, you know, we don't have the time, unfortunately, to take to the streets, so-called take to the streets, and take our country back. I'm amazed at how far I've been able to go, and I know that I've got more miles that I got to put on myself and find the strength to, you know, to continue. But, you know, when the heart is taken out of a youngster, I mean, you know, it really does matter what happens to the elderly. But when you take the heart out of the youngster, which is the, you know, that's the roadmap to the future. And that little lady, you know, is probably scared to death. She may have student loans, you know, who knows? She may have a car payment, an apartment.
Who knows? but she was scared. Thomas, thanks so much for the call. We've got more of your calls coming up on Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ and Jim, Willie, Heidi. We will get to you in the last segment. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station, seeing all good people turn their heads. Obviously evocative of the whole Christ notion of turning the other cheek. I did not intend to inspire people to feel threatened by what I had said, but I must declare very clearly I am an advocate and a proponent of nonviolence, and I don't mean that to couch or apologize for anything that I said. This is something that is a deeply held belief for me. We're going to continue the conversation. Let's go to Heidi in Illinois. Heidi, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. Thanks for holding. What's up?
Oh, well, Adam, I think that we as a society, we as poor people, need to get over the societal shame of being poor, being told that we don't try hard enough, that we're lazy, we made dumb choices. And that fire that you talked about, I took it to be that passion, that righteous indignation that we should have at being told that we don't count. And not only don't we count, we're leeches on society because the programs we rely on, like Social Security, unemployment, and things like that, suck money out of society. Those are the first things on the chopping block.
Right.
We don't count. And we should need to unleash that fire that you're talking about. And right. I honestly think not taking to the streets exactly, but the best way to do this is in our personal relationships. We all have friends. We all like go to churches or PTAs or things like that where people will say things like this to our face. And we have to not be afraid to say, I'm poor. You realize you're talking about me, not some abstraction.
Right.
The person standing right in front of you.
Right.
And I've been doing that for the last couple of years, and I got to tell you, I get some blowback. But I'm getting ready to take that up a notch and say, not only am I poor, but the policies that you're advocating are hurting me and my children.
I just love that. That is so the point. Heidi, thanks for holding for so long and for making such an excellent point. Thanks for the call. The Heidi's point, I think, is excellent, which is oftentimes there's this shame around being poor and that when we've been broke or we are broke, that somehow it's our fault. And you know what? Rich people, that's exactly what they want us to feel because they feel exactly the opposite, that they're chosen by God to be rich. And that is the most dangerous, infectious thought that we can have when we start thinking about class and money in this country. Let's go to Nashville. Willie or Wiley in Nashville, Tennessee. Welcome to the show. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, it's Wiley. Yeah, I have always been nonviolent since I took acid for the first time at 15, you know?
It'll do that to you, won't it?
I grew up in Nashville, and the first thing they do at 12, they buy you a single-shot shotgun, and if you can keep from blowing your head off, they get you an automatic 22.
Oh, boy.
And then at 15, when I became enlightened, I got rid of them because I didn't want them anymore.
So when you say enlightened...
But the thing is, in 2006, right after I saw Cheney and Bush steal their sexual election, I went out and bought a gun.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Wiley, thanks for calling. I want to get to all the calls here. Wiley, sorry to cut you off. Wow, that's a sad story. A guy gets enlightened. He's raised with guns, and then he gets so frightened that he goes out and buys one. Wow, that's a very powerful story. Wiley, thanks for the call. Jim in Vancouver, Washington, thanks for holding. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America. What's up?
Thank you. I'm glad to have this opportunity. I'm coming with a plea to you, Adam.
Okay.
I will close my portion with the plea. I want to tell you what I've learned in my 69 years.
I've got 3 minutes to a hard break, so just keep that in mind. And I got two calls I want to get to.
I've got 30 seconds, as I understand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, go for it.
What I've learned from 69 years of teaching and various experiences is that talk diffuses energy. What we need is action which is focused. And the only thing we really can focus on is our leaders, our representatives, and our president. If we talk, and this is my big complaint about talk radio, to which I listen hours every day, is it we never get a date and an appointment to get on the streets. Is it within your power to say November 1st, or better yet, next Tuesday before the company crapulates, that we will take to the streets? We need a phrase, we need a talking point that can be get rid of the tax cuts for the rich. It can be public financing of elections. More appropriate right now is to save our country. My plea is, if you will arrange, organize for hundreds of thousands of people within the range of your speaking voice to be on the streets with a short phrase aimed at President Obama.
Jim, thank you so much. That's a great point. I'm going to think a lot on that. We got time for one more call. I go, Ann, welcome to Maddest Hell in America with Adam Klugman. That's the 1 minute music. Go for it.
The man who just called is afraid about getting kicked out of his house. They cannot throw you out of your house without going to court first. Call your local senior center. Call the area agency for aging. They can help you get a lawyer, usually for free. Call Legal Aid Services, but they can't throw you out without going to court first.
Thank you very much, and you're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. We will be right back after the break. Stay with us.